B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
In Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the snap and an end around to Godwin. Godwin running to the third. He's got the first down across the 40. Bucs are going to win this football game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a reverse play. Who would have guessed? Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians dial up the right play. Godwin, our leading receiver, he rops for the first down. And the Buccaneers have a fresh set with 27 seconds left. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be the first team ever to host a Super Bowl. The Bucs have punched their ticket to Super Bowl 55.
There's 2 seconds left. They need to take one snap, and they're heading to the Super Bowl.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, two ticks away. Tom Brady, you're the real deal. Victory formation. Three consecutive post-game wins on the road for Tom Brady. The Bucs win! Bucs win! Tampa Bay is heading to the Super Bowl.
How's that for a final call? Again, your reaction to it, right to you as promised. Jake is in Danvers. Lead us off this hour. Go ahead, Jake.
Real quick, I think Mike Pettine was just nervous that last play of the half that Brady might get out of the pocket and scramble for 40 yards.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Got to have that safety down there shadowing him. Got to have it. Got to have a spy for Brady. Absolutely.
Yeah, get him in the box, you know. But two quick points. First of all, you know, you guys keep talking about the narrative, the main narrative, and you just make it about two guys. You just make it about Bill and Tom. But you conveniently leave out the fact that Tom left the least talented team in the league and went to the most talented team in the league with five Pro Bowl receivers. I don't know. The Patriots had guys on the defense this year that would not start on any other team in the league. No question about it. And then, Mike, if you could just answer me this question, I got a question for you. And to me, this ends the argument as to, you know, who was more important to the success over the past 20 years. Out of the six Super Bowl victories, can you name one of those teams where the offense was better than the defense? Because I can't.
So this is a guy still hanging on to the Belichick side of it there, Murray.
Yeah,
obviously.
And I guess he's not going to get the life raft. He still sounds butthurt and upset, and that it's still this is a narrative that you guys keep playing into. Why can't we just root for both? Like, no, pick a side, and it seems like you picked the losing side. Brady on a so-so team, because that's what the Patriots were last year. That 12-4 record was fake. Brady on a so-so team. Or Belichick with a so-so quarterback, and that's being kind to Cam Newton. Who's better? The verdict is handed down. Tom won. Tom won. And if you can't accept that now, well, you've just stuck your head in the sand, and you're just being obtuse and ignorant.
The pain for these people must just be too much to take. Maybe that's what it is. Like, really, give it up. Okay, give it up. First of all, it was over before the game yesterday.
Right.
Now it's over, period.
Now you really got nothing.
Like, seriously, which is why, like, I choose to put it in these terms. When they split, there was an obvious question there. One guy was ready for the duel. The other guy wasn't. Fact. Brady was ready to go. He went to Tampa Bay, for goodness sake. He went to Tampa Bay, and now he has them in the Super Bowl. The other guy's still looking for his quarterback.
Jake, we picked the wrong guy. Just acceptance is the price of freedom, babe. But he wanted an answer to the question. Name one of the six Super Bowl champions where the offense was better than the defense. I mean, there might have been none of them. But
Atlanta?
I mean, maybe. You know, that was still pretty good defense. You know, but the Atlanta Super Bowl would be the one, okay? That 2014 defense was great. Obviously, the defense kind of carried them at the end, although the offense did their part, their very last one. 03, 04, 01, the defense was studly. But, you know, I think that's asking the wrong question. I mean, they were a really good, balanced team. How many of those would they have won without Tom Brady? You know, that's a question you ask yourself. And I think the answer to that one is like one or two. And if you hadn't gotten the first one, it might have been none. Because, you know, Bill wasn't able to go full a-hole until he got a ring on his finger. And, you know, he wasn't able to do that thing. And if you don't win that first one, and I'm sorry, I don't think you win the first one with Drew Bledsoe or some other quarterback. I mean, you're still fighting this? Get out. World War II is over, man. Get out of the jungle in Okinawa. It's over. Okay? Allies won. Chuck in D.C. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, guys. So, first, I mean, I think that was the worst coaching performance of the entire 2020 season. I mean, those guys make Adam Gase look good, for crying out loud. I mean, it was just horrible. But that aside, That does not negate the fact that Aaron Rodgers has consistently shown us over the course of his career that he always comes up short in the clutch. On that last drive, if you can't get it in the end zone there, that falls on Rodgers. And just throughout the game, how much time does he waste on every single play, bleeding the play clock down to zero? I just think that, I mean, it's every time. It's like, come on already. It's just, yesterday, I think, could not be a more perfect example of the difference between Brady and Rodgers.
It's so deliberate. He's just so deliberate. And there's something there about it's got to be the perfect player, the perfect look, and it kind of fits with his personality, like he's sort of anal and weird and, you know, I don't have all of his, psych papers in front of me, but, you know, I bet someone could do a real number on this guy, and it plays into how he plays. Yeah, they're down multiple scores in the second half of the NFC title game. You saw it every play inside of 5 seconds. And, you know, this is another thing. It's like he'd rather take a sack than an incomplete. And I don't know if he's looking at his number. I mean, he had a quarterback rating of 101 yesterday, right? And I think a big reason why is because he'll take the sack as opposed to throwing the ball away. Because it's got to be the perfect thing, or I don't know what it is. But he doesn't just grip it and rip it. And he doesn't just let it go and put his balls on the table when it's time to go win a game. And you saw it there. It was there for him. 3 possessions with a chance to win or to go ahead or tie the game in the fourth quarter, and he was 0-for-3. Bottom line.
Go ahead, Mark.
Him not running it in.
Yes.
On 3rd and goal from the 8, where you've seen every angle of it. He's got a clear lane, and instead he opts to force a pass into double coverage. That's gonna make you want to put
twice.
Your head through a window, Mike.
Twice.
Yeah.
Twice. He should have run on both plays. He should have run on 2nd down and 3rd down, if you ask me.
There's a decision-making thing there that it's just, when the bullets are flying, it's just not there. It's not the worst I've ever seen, you know, like he did it once and he's come through sometimes. So it's not like it's a total disaster, but it's just not at that elite level. It's just not. I want to say he's not a championship caliber quarterback. Like, that's how I feel, because I don't care. I mentioned this all last week. I don't care about like the physical gifts and the way the ball comes out and the mobility. Those things don't interest me nearly as much as, this is a play you got to have. Do you make the right decision? And I think there he doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. And it's not pre-snap, because pre-snap he can sort of figure out what's going on, and he'll take it down to 1 second on the play clock to figure out what's going on. It's after the snap. And it's like, boy, he had that whole right side of the field on the 3rd down in the red zone. You know, and if he's getting clipped just before the end zone, well, then it's 4th and goal at the 1.
Exactly.
And it's a much different call, or fourth down inside the 5. It's a much different call and much different decision for LaFleur there. And he doesn't take it. And the red zone trip that they missed in the first half, Maz, don't forget that one. Like you mentioned it, the back shoulder to Davante Adams is a layup. That was a layup. And the ball wasn't great. Adams still could have had it. But then even on 3rd down, Lazard, wide open coming across the middle. He just had to wait one extra half second, and it's right there. It's so easy. And he missed it. Those plays add up.
I thought that sequence was one of the most underrated sequences of the game. Because, again, Mike, that's 4 points. It's 4 points. You know, they end up losing by 5, right? But it changes the whole sequence at the end of the game, because now you're playing for a field goal potentially instead of a touchdown. And, like, the whole thing changes. The whole thing changes.
There was another one. This was in the second half. They ended up scoring a touchdown on the drive, so it's not like it really killed them. But the one time Rodgers got Tampa to jump, I think he got Sue to jump, so he had a free play, and he threw it to the fullback, you know, 30 yards down the field. This was a play where they originally threw the flag for a headshot, and then they picked it up. But he had Davante Adams streaking wide open down the left side of the field, uncovered. And if he had just, you know, let the game slow down just one little bit and scan the field, he had an easy 6 to Adams down the left sideline, and he didn't see him. And that's just sort of the story of Aaron Rodgers. When it has to be there, he has to have it, he doesn't see it. You saw it yesterday, man. That was it. To me, that was the game. Jay in Grafton. Go ahead, Jay.
How you doing, guys? No matter how full your diaper is, every Pats fan should be rooting for Brady. The only thing that might motivate Bill to make real changes is watching Brady hold the Lombardi Trophy in one hand and giving Bill the middle finger with the other.
Okay, and let's hope it goes to the Crafts, too. That's good. It goes to the crafts because the whole organization has to be motivated. They have to spend money. They have to maybe change the way they do contracts. They can't, you know, they are so hyper, you know, conscious of protecting themselves with these contracts, and I think they lose free agents because of it. So if they want to be aggressive, they want to retool the roster, they want to get back and enter this conversation, it's not just the coaching and the drafting that has to change. I think it's got to be the whole approach that's got
to
change.
They got to be open to do some different things here. And so while I've obviously had my fun, and I think that they've taken a rightful beating, and Belichick, of course, you know, leading that there. But there is a potential silver lining here. If he hoists the Lombardi in a couple of weeks, well, how can that not motivate them to be more aggressive than they normally would be in this offseason?
I would hope that they're already there. I would hope that they're already there and that they've been there a long time. Because, again, look, just, Mike, I know you've touched on this, but it really can't be stated enough. Can you imagine if this went the other way? Can you imagine if the Patriots were going to the Super Bowl right now and Brady went 7-9 or 5-9, as I like to say? Can you imagine what we'd be saying? Can you imagine the rhetoric and the nonsense? I say nonsense, but the rhetoric that would be getting shoved down people's throats. And I would say rightfully so. That if it went the other way and we looked at Bill and said, look at that, he won without Brady. Look at that. And Brady went 7-9 without Bill and missed the playoffs. Wow. What can you imagine what we'd be saying?
We were doing it after a couple of weeks early in the regular season. When the Patriots won their opener against Miami and Tampa wasn't close in New Orleans, we said, see, it's about system, it's about program, and there were little spots in there. It sort of went back and forth in the first couple months of the season where it didn't look so good there in Tampa, and you were holding your head, you were sort of in it-ish, you know, at least enough. And there were certain weeks where we went back and forth and said, it is coaching, it is system. And even then, you know, just at 4-3 in the middle of October or whatever, you know, we were doing it. Oh, Maz, if the Pats were here and Brady wasn't, oh, it'd be insufferable.
He's back in the Super Bowl. As I tweeted yesterday, TBSBX.
Brian and Lynn.
That's Super Bowl 10 for Brady.
Go ahead, Brian.
Holy crap.
What do you got?
Hey guys, good afternoon to everybody on the right side of history and absolutely nobody else. Two quick coaching thoughts. Matt LaFleur, the only word for him, coward. You deserve to lose on the PI call after you kick that field goal and you give the ball back to not just the GOAT, but also the best closing quarterback of all time.
Right.
And then real quick on BA, I think Arians does deserve a little credit for letting Brady coach and staying out of his own way. And right now, Belichick is on his couch, and Brady is the better coach and player.
Yeah. So, Mike, I'll tell you, you were talking about the plays that Green Bay called at the end of the half and how cautious they were. And this didn't occur to me until you started talking about what Murray said. Arians sensed it. He watched him and said, they're afraid. They're afraid of Brady. So, you know what? I'm going to call a timeout. Because, again, Arians is this, you know, pull down his pants and start swinging it around on the field kind of guy. He saw them. He said, they're afraid. They're afraid of Brady. They're being too tentative. They're being too timid. Call a timeout. Right? So he sensed it. That's what happened there. Now, again, the breakdown on the touchdown to Scotty Miller, that's sort of a separate thing. But in terms of Arians, how he handled it, he saw the Packers be timid, and he said, we're going to go for it here. We're going to go and try to score some more points. And what a swing. What a swing at the end of that half.
Back with more right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger Mass.
What are you talking about?
Number one.
Tell us what we said. Point A to point B, please.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
No one keeps track of it other than you. We don't. The listeners don't. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Felger Mass.
Oh, I think he's a tool bag.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And here comes the field goal kicker with 2:09 to go. Mason Crosby, he has not missed this year. The spot is down. The kick is airborne, and it is good. And it's 31-26.
I'm a little surprised they didn't actually go for it on fourth down there.
I'm really surprised by that decision, Joe. I thought that they would go for it on fourth down. You're just not sure with Tom Brady that they'll get another shot at it.
You lost the game. You played scared. You had the best player in football, at least this year, and you didn't give him an opportunity to win the game. You are 9 yards away from the end zone. The reason that you are trailing is that B.A. trusted Tom Brady with 13 seconds in the second quarter and said, you know what? We're going to go for it on fourth down and possibly give you the ball at midfield. We're going to throw this bomb into the end zone and give Scotty Miller a chance to burn Kevin King for the 76th time yesterday. Give Aaron Rodgers the opportunity to win the game. Don't take it from him. Don't put it on people that haven't shown up for you the entire day. And that's what Matt LaFleur did. And when you make decisions like that, you sit at home and you get to think about those decisions. You get to dwell in those decisions because you will not be playing in the Super Bowl. And that's exactly what the Green Bay Packers will be doing.
Anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? Essentially had 4 timeouts with the 2-minute warning. You know, we knew we needed to get a stop. It didn't work out. So I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure. It felt like it was the right decision to do. It just didn't work out.
All right, let me give you my spiel on that decision first. The only thing that, but you know, Matt LaFleur is getting killed for this. He should be getting killed for this. It's going to be an albatross across his neck unless or until he ever wins the big one. And it's what he's always going to be known for. You let the best player in football, air quotes, best player in football, come off the field on fourth down with a chance to tie the game. You freaking idiot. The only thing that bothers me about that commentary, Maz, is that it lets Rodgers off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sort of hearing it there. Ryan Clark, I think, with ESPN there, and I've heard others say it. You have the GOAT with the ball in his hands, and you take the ball away from Aaron Rodgers? And it's like Rodgers gets to scapegoat Matt LaFleur. When the fact is, Aaron Rodgers is the one that couldn't come through. Ball in his hands 3 times in the fourth quarter with the chance to go ahead or tie the ball game, and he failed 3 for 3. That's on him, not Matt LaFleur. And it gives Aaron Rodgers cover. It gives him a scapegoat, and that bugs me. It really, that fourth quarter was more on Aaron Rodgers than Matt LaFleur. Now, that decision was wretched. Wretched. You got to throw it in there. Because even if you miss it, you still, either way, you have to stop the Buccaneers 3 and out coming out. So whether you're stopping them, you know, from your 8-yard line or from their 28, it's the same situation. And you still need a touchdown. It's not like you get to line up. It'd be one thing if that field goal cut it to 3. And then when you get the ball back, you only need 3. So then you only need to drive to the 35-yard line and you can tie the ball game. That's different. Both times you're throwing into the end zone. Horrible decision. And he exposes himself when he says, we were north of the 2-minute warning, so we essentially had 4 timeouts. Well, then why, jackass, did you kick the ball short? Because, and it's true, Mason Crosby kicked that field goal with, it started with 2:09, it ended with 2:05. So it's true you're north of the 2-minute warning if you kick the ball out of the end zone. No time comes off on a touchback, right? So if you kick it into the end zone, then you get those, what he was calling, 4 timeouts. Instead, you kicked it short again, which you were doing all game and getting killed on. And the only reason you got bailed out is because Mickens took that knee. Mickens gave himself up early in his return. So the clock did stop at 2:02. But if Mickens had just played it out, had ran it out, you lose the 4th timeout. You lose the 2-minute warning. So are you in command of the situation or not?
Not.
And then someone somewhere, again, the only smart thing Green Bay did all day is after break. So anyway, so first down, 2:02 left now because Mickens took the knee. So there's 2:02. He does get his 4th timeout. I said it to the TV. I said, throw here. Throw. The clock's going to stop either way. This is a throwing situation. So they allowed Brady to throw on first down. They, of course, sucked up on the play action because they're stupid. You know, they didn't realize it. And now Tampa's at 2nd and 1 coming out of the 2-minute warning, and Green Bay did the only smart thing they did all day. They took that intentional offsides, and Tampa stupidly accepted it. They should have declined that penalty. Either way, they pretty much mitigated the whole thing of that 4 timeouts by not kicking the ball into the end zone. So big fail there on Matt LaFleur.
Oh, huge. And again, look, the Rodgers part of it too. Mike, even if they just get 5 yards on second or third down, then they're on the 3 yard line, they get 6 yards, they're on the 2, you get the idea. Now fourth down becomes a different play. Maybe he doesn't kick the field goal. Maybe he says, well, worst case here, we get them pinned at the 1 or the 2. If we don't score, we hold them, we get it back, we're in good field position. We can go in and get another touchdown. Like, but to end up at the 8, and I thought Rodgers could have run on second down too. He might not have gotten in the end zone, but he could have picked up 4 or 5 yards. Like, and I got to go back and look at the play, but my recollection was on both of those plays, I said, run. What are you doing? Oh, they just complete, you know, and you mentioned the Mickens play on the kickoff, and I missed it at the time. Someone pointed out to me, too, you can't slide there. You got to get to the 2-minute warning. And I went, oh, right.
No, that exactly. Made me crazy.
Green Bay's coverage teams, garbage.
Weren't ready to go. First two kickoffs, atrocious big long returns. First punt was a joke by the Packers. Their returner almost got pinned inside his 10, was lucky that got reviewed, and the ball hit the goal line, if you remember the play, in the first half. Weren't ready to go. Special teams suck. Defensive coaching, a joke. It's because they don't have a head coach.
Yeah, look, and it's a small thing in the game, but I was just looking it up. Tampa Bay's average starting field position, 37-yard line. Green Bay, the 23. That's a big difference. That's a huge difference.
Regarding the field goal, what I thought, the reason he went for it is because he thought that Brady was in a bad way, and he looked like he had turned into like a mental case in that second half, and they thought he was screw it up and that they would get the ball back. And as bad as Brady was in that second half, and I do think he was bad, it's a fool's errand to underestimate that guy. You'd think you'd know that after 20 years.
Let's give it to Brady to close out the game. That's a good, excellent call.
Can I give you another one? I want to know if it made you crazy, Mike. I thought the decision to go for 2 down 28-23 at the start of the fourth, I thought that was dumb. Like, so, I don't care what the chart and the nerds say. Like, that was dumb.
That factored too. That definitely factored too. Because, again, part of LaFleur's calculus there was that, well, what are our odds of getting it in on 4th and 8 and then the 2-point conversion? Whereas if it's just an extra point, you know, and that was the difference between 7 and 8. If they hadn't gone for 2, they would have been down 7 and not 8. And if it's just now we just have to complete the 4th and 8 and not the 2-point conversion, those odds change. And they probably, because LaFleur is this way, they probably have some nerd somewhere,
definitely,
you know, calculating the win probabilities on it. And if it, you know, it, what made it a low probability there from the eight, was you had to convert 4th and 8 and then the 2-pointer. But if it's just an extra point, those odds probably change and they probably go for it. So those 2 points ended up factoring for sure.
Of course, if the receiver just catches the 2-point conversion, and I know it got deflected, I know, but catch the ball. Catch the ball.
Dante in New Bedford. Go ahead, Dante.
Yeah, I'm with Mari. I've got the lotion out for Brady all season long, but that last interception made me absolutely nauseous. I mean, that was like Brett Favre, just chuck it down the field. But anyway, I'm just curious, who do you guys think has more to prove in this game, Patrick Mahomes or Brady?
So, I mean, no one has anything to prove in this game. No one has anything to prove in this game. Mahomes is the next guy. He's the best guy in the league, and he's going to be there. And what, Tom Brady has something to prove? Like, would you stop it with that?
I mean, it's kind of gravy for both of these guys. At this point, Brady's proved it. He can do it without Bill. He's gotten this far. And Mahomes is going to go back to probably 5 more of these things.
Well, I mean, Mahomes is chasing Brady now. So, you know, he needs it more if you want it like that. But I want to go back to the interception again. I'm sorry. I don't chalk that up as a big mistake by Tom Brady. It was 3rd and 2, and he was toast on that. They had a corner blitz. One of the few times that, you know, Brady, there was a corner blitz that he just wasn't ready for. They weren't ready for, and it was a one-array rusher. The play wasn't there. The play was not there to be completed, okay? It's one of the few times Petten, you know, beat the Tampa offense. So he lobbed it out down there, and the Packers got it at their 24. I mean, it would have been the punt. So could you have punted it inside the 15-yard line? Yes, maybe. Maybe they lost 10 yards in that situation. But that, to me, was not a killer mistake. I'm sorry, it wasn't.
Yeah, the other one to me was worse. Again, and I'm sorry. That ball that deflected off Evans's hands over the middle of the field, I think I'll go back and look. They were at the, 28-yard line when he threw the pass? Or they were in field goal range, I know. You got to get points there.
Yeah, they were at the 28. 2nd and 14, they'll miss.
Okay, but so
you... 2nd and 1. I'm sorry, 2nd and 11.
Yeah, so, but even so, you just can't turn it over. When you're that deep in Green Bay territory, you cannot turn it over.
Martin on the Cape, quick.
The look of total dejection on Aaron Rodgers' face, Mike, at the end of that game really says it all for him. At this point, he absolutely needs a different color uniform, fresh start in a new city, just for his mental health and self-esteem. I don't know what went on those sidelines. What do you tell them? Okay, Aaron, we have no faith in you, so we're going to kick the stupidest field goal in NFL history and give the ball back to Tom Brady with 2:02 left in the game. And Aaron, you can go imitate Marcus Smart and flap your arms and whine to the refs. A terrible look at the end of the game for him and the coach.
Oh, no. Brutal. It's going to leave a mark. Never mind the fans, but the coach, the quarterback, that whole thing. That wasn't a Super Bowl loss, but it's up there. It's one of those sort of leave a mark. This is going to take a while to recover from sort of endings and defeats for the Packers, which is something they should factor in when they're considering Aaron Rodgers' future, which we will get to here coming up on Felger and Maz on a re-entry Monday. First, an update here from Big Jim Murray.
Yep, and a reminder that Reentry Monday is presented by East Boston Savings Bank. If you're looking to finance a home mortgage or maybe just a commercial real estate property, and I shouldn't say just a commercial real estate property, you know what I mean, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. How about that? Visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going every day.
Keep your whack.
Keep their whack.
Toucher and Rich, mornings at 6. But now, more Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One more snap. Mahomes goes to a knee. The trophy stays here. Because the Lamar Hunt Trophy stays anchored in the hearts of everyone who shares Lamar Hunt's vision. The Chiefs' kingdom captures the trophy and it stays here. Yes, the Chiefs are back-to-back AFC champions, and the Super Bowl 54 champions are ready to run it back. They are headed to Super Bowl 55 as a road team to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Chiefs win the AFC championship 38, Buffalo 24.
That's what it sounded like on the AFC side. You guys have any quick thoughts before we go back to the phones?
I mean, I told you, to me, the big takeaway was Buffalo's defense. I thought the game plan for Buffalo on defense was absolutely atrocious. I hold the coaching staff accountable for that. And quickly on the Brady-Mahomes matchup, just because you said which guy has more at stake, Mahomes is 6-1 in his postseason career now. The only guy he lost to is the guy he'll face in the Super Bowl. Like, to me, that's just talk about a great, great matchup. Everyone's eager to see that one.
That game, to me, was worthless from the first whistle. And I know the Bills had the early lead, but you knew it was all a matter of time before the Chiefs exploded. They just have too much speed, and the Bills are just not on their level, period. They're not.
And I don't think anyone is. And I think that Brady, right now with the Buccaneers, is the only team that would have a chance against Kansas City in the whole league. That's what I think. And not that Kansas City was, you know, great the entire season. I mean, they won, but I felt like they sleptwalked through a lot of their season anyway. But I just think when they get going, when they dial it in and they get running, it's like an NBA team on a run. Like you just got to wait it out. And I don't think anyone can stop them. And the only team that has a chance, the only team, is this Buccaneers team with Tom Brady. Otherwise, I wouldn't give anyone else a chance. To your phones here, as promised. Paul New Bedford. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, hi. You know, first of all, Green Bay has nobody to blame but themselves for losing that game, as you guys have said. But I just wanted to call about the pass interference call just for a second. You know, I'm watching the game for 3 hours, right? And they didn't call anything all game long, to the point where I said to my wife, oh, this is great. The officials are staying out of the way. Just let it go. Just let it go, right? And then to make that call, then the home run call, which decides the game. And here's the thing, and this is what I want to get your take on, right? The theater that was coming, right? Rodgers with the ball one last time to either choke, like you say he generally does, Mike, right? Or finally have some balls and win the game. And then there was kind of that delay. Are they going to throw it? Are they not going to throw it? And then all of a sudden the flag gets thrown, and I'm thinking, oh, you just took away possibly one of the great last minutes in NFL time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's another bailout of Rodgers, Paul. Thank you for the call. It's another bailout of Rodgers. You know, you wouldn't have seen him fail. We never got a chance to see him fail at the buzzer with the ball in his hands because the refs threw the flag. And, yeah, it was frustrating that they let everyone get away with everything all game long. But you just can't grab the guy's jersey and stretch it out for 6 yards across the field in the middle of every referee in the entire stadium and a nationally televised audience and get away with it. He deserved it, man. If you just a garden variety hold, garden variety clutch and grab, you're fine. They were letting it go all game. You just can't stretch the jersey out to Sheboygan and expect to get away with that.
And I'll tell you in retrospect, too, I don't know how you feel about this. I don't think he was going to catch it. The was not a good ball by Brady. Again, he was high. And so I think Brady missed him. I think Brady was missing high in the second half. And in the end, the penalty was needless is the point.
Jason and Danvers, go ahead.
Hey, Mikey, referenced it earlier in the show. What did I say a week ago this time? Who's going to be the reason the Packers lose? It's going to be Mike Pettine and Kevin King. Unbelievable. He's the one with the penalty call. He's the one who mischimes the Evans touchdown. He's the one that gets beat by Scotty Miller. I mean, it's unbelievable. And was their special teams coordinator the only guy in the room that didn't know that their special teams unit stinks? Kick the ball through the back of the end zone.
Oh, my God. So, Jason, you were the Kevin King guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm Kevin King's least favorite person in the world right now.
I'll tell you, though, that to me reeks of Brady and the way they approached it here, which I always gave credit to Bill for. But, no, it turns out it was really Tom, but it was really a Patriots approach, which is it's not like they go into the game saying, we have to get this guy going. We have to get that guy going. We're going to get Evans the ball. We're going to get Johnson the ball. We're going to get Brait the ball. No, 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 no. They look at the other team and say, well, that guy sucks. Let's go get him. and you craft your whole game plan on where the other team is weak. And, boy, stupid me. Stupid me. For 20 years, I thought that was Bill. Turns out it was Tom.
I mean, and look, the caller's right, too, about the touchdown to Evans on the first drive. That Brady just threw that up there because he said the other guy, King's not going to be able to go get it. I'm not saying it was a bad throw, but it's not like it was one of these all-time great throws. The guy just floundered, flopped around, and Evans jumped up and caught it. That was it.
Bob and Easton, you're up next. I only have one request. Please be quick.
Okay, Murray, I was getting ready to yell at you and call you a front-running fraud, and I realized, you're the guy on the unicycle in the middle of Faneuil Hall juggling balls and knives, so that's your act. I get it. Okay, but any logical person, smart person would know that this is not Belichick against Brady. Maz, every time you say, Mike, he went to Tampa freaking Bay, it's not Tampa Bay from 1978. They had a decent team last year. They were 7-9. I'm going to leave you with this, and I'm going to ask you. My first question is, do you think the Patriots would have made the Super Bowl this year if Brady was on the Patriots?
No.
I'm not taking questions.
Okay, no. Stop. No. Thank you for answering the question. Second, what if Bill Belichick makes the Super Bowl next year? Like, so why are we doing this, guys?
Because
like,
it's today.
What's the point?
And because we're
it's
right.
Today.
And because Tom won.
Yeah, and next year, if Belichick gets back to the Super Bowl, then I will sit there and go, good answer. Good comeback.
January 25th, 2022, Bob, 617-779-0985. I'll hear from you then. So if you just want to wait, like hold your breath until then, go ahead. We have a daily show to do, as Maz just said.
See, I'm sorry, Mike, he misses the point. Okay, he misses the point. Like, you can give me all the intellectual discussion that you want about, well, it's not really Brady. It doesn't matter. It is going to go down in history as the Patriots let Brady go. He went to Tampa Bay. They went to the Super Bowl, and the Patriots went 7-9. That's what it's going to be, whether you like it or not.
Do you know how happy it makes me, especially him? Like, the visceral anger coming through that call. You got nothing. You lost. The known Bucs players on this team were on the roster last year. Like you said, yeah, they were 7-9. And they were 5-11, Bob, the year before that. Gronk, washed up. Antonio Brown, washed up. It's Tom Brady. Brady is the reason that the Bucs had the season that they just had and that they're in the Super Bowl. That's why. Him. Tom Brady.
And by the way, I'm not convinced that if Brady had stayed, they wouldn't have contended. Because I think the whole, remember, the conditions on which he would have stayed would have been improve the team, right? Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have brought Brady back, so they would have paid him. Because that was a big condition of his. He wanted a real contract. So if you're going to pay Brady $25 million, well, that's a waste to give him Jacoby Myers and, you know, and have that be it. So you would have a whole organizational approach where it would be, okay, we're going to invest a couple more years and extend this a couple more years. So we're going to pay Brady. We're going to make sure that we surround him with, you know, commensurate talent. We're going to tell Bill to stand down a little bit and not be such an a-hole, and Alex can do whatever, you know, whatever. Like, the whole thing would have changed, right? The whole approach would have been different. And who knows? I know you've mentioned this too, Maz. Maybe some of those opt-outs say, well, Brady's still here. We're in the thing. I'm not going to opt out. And they have a different-looking team, and they're in it. I mean, all it took, and I say all, but a difference of five games and whatever. They're in the playoffs, maybe hosting a game, and I'm not willing to say they wouldn't have contended. I'm not ruling anything out with Brady anymore. That's for the people who just want to close their eyes and not look at the facts and not look at what happened. Brady's won, and he's proven some things. And if he had stayed, I think they would have contended anyway. Small c.
Well, so I'll tell you what. I put this in the email exchange this morning, and having heard some of the reports we heard over the weekend, if Brady staying would have inspired them to make the Stephon Diggs trade, and then Dante Hightower opts in, well, then I rule nothing out.
Right.
I rule nothing out. Because, again, Hightower to me was just a huge, huge, huge one. So I took the question to mean the existing Patriots roster. Do I think Brady alone changes that team? No, I don't. But the culture you're right about.
Okay, long commercial-free segment. What's next for the Patriots? There were some clues over the weekend. We'll get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matthew Stafford has been as good, if not better, than any quarterback in Lions history. But in an offseason where we're going to see unprecedented quarterback movement, you can include the name Matthew Stafford. Him and the Detroit Lions are finished moving forward.
Is he willing to be coached hard? Because the New England Patriots just hired was Matt Patricia. He's back on the staff. So if anyone has intimate knowledge of Matthew Stafford and how Patricia felt about Stafford, Bill and Matty.
You guys are missing it. Nobody wanted to go to New England to be coached by Bill Belichick. They wanted to play with Tom Brady. Why? That's why you're going to win. And no quarterback was wanting to go to New England, I can assure you that.
All right, so let's get to this briefly. We have, all offseason to talk about the Patriots quarterback situation. I do want to mostly keep on that Buccaneers game yesterday, but this did develop over the weekend. Adam Schefter and the ESPN crew talking about Matthew Stafford potentially available. Do you want him, Maz, and should he want you?
I absolutely want him, no question about it. After the debacle of last season, 2020, no question I want him. Does he want you? I don't know, and that's what worries me. And so now if I were Stafford, see, I think Rex Ryan's argument there doesn't really hold water. You want to come play with Tom Brady. Well, Matthew Stafford was never going to play with, like, it doesn't apply to quarterbacks. A quarterback has to look at it and say, no, do I want to go to an organization that has a clue, with a coach that has a clue, assuming they build the roster? Yes, after playing in Detroit with a collection of clowns as head coaches that he's played with there, sure. And the other thing that worries me is the market. I think there are going to be teams in the market for quarterbacks, starting with Indianapolis. And again, Indy's a big one to me because they have a good team. And they're in the conference. And so, does he want to come here? I don't know. I think that is something the Patriots have to convince people of now.
Maz, 15 overall for Matt Stafford?
So I lean no there because I don't think that's what it's going to take.
I agree.
I don't think it's going to take that much. But if you're asking me, would I give up the second rounder for him? Yes. And even that might be high, but I would do it. Yes.
Yeah, given his age and injury history, that's too much to give. That 15th pick, I would not do it. And I would take him. I have real concerns about that back injury he's had, like a broken back. It's what prematurely ended Romo's career. I like him overall, though. I think of the veteran quarterbacks, I think he'd be a good fit, and I like the makeup. But I just don't know why he would choose here over San Francisco or Indianapolis. And I'm assuming he would likely need to sign off on any deal, or that Detroit would, want to work with him. And the only reason for him to come here is strictly Belichick and want to work with McDaniels. That's it. The supporting cast here, that's not a draw. And then them bringing in Matt Patricia, like, I don't ever remember hearing or reading anything about those two having any blow-ups while he was the head coach there the last few years.
But, how could he like him?
Right.
How could
if, you're
he
like Matt, him? If you're Matt Stafford, you're happy he's gone. Then all of a sudden they bring in bro coach, and that's enough. Like, I got to get out of here. I'm not dealing with two meatheads over these last handful of years. I want to go somewhere new. I can't understand how Matt Patricia being here is a good thing for the Patriots, for them trying to get Matt Stafford.
Look, I will explore every opportunity that you can to get this guy. And when I say every opportunity, every angle. Meaning, I think, don't he and Andrews know each other? I don't know if they played together.
Georgia. They were in.
Right. They're both Georgia guys, though. And I remember Andrews tweeted something about Stafford at one point. And so what I would say is this. If it helps you get him, and I don't know that it will, I'm just saying if, then sign Andrews, too. Do whatever you got to do to go get yourself a quarterback. Yes.
So I would definitely take him. I think, I mean, again, not the day to be saying it, but I do think Bill could win with him at a reasonably high level. And that'd be a nice sort of fallback for sure. I don't give up the first-round pick. I agree with Maz. I don't think you have to. You know, I think he's 33, and it's $20 million on the contract. Generally speaking, that's not, you know, it's he's good enough to command a first-round pick. It's just you generally don't do that for a guy at that age, at that dollar. That's, you know. So I think you can get away with something less than a first-round pick for him. Plus, I'm still drafting a guy in the next year or two. You know, he's not. He's a really good bridge guy. He's an excellent bridge option, but I really can't think that I got him for any more than 3 years or so. I mean, I don't know. I know these guys are playing later than ever. Who knows? But to me, I still treat him as a bridge guy, and I'm happy for it. I think that'd be a great call. The thing that I'm interested in is, you know, Schefter saying unprecedented quarterback movement. You know, when he says unprecedented quarterback movement, he's not talking, I don't think, Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston and, you know, Marcus Mariota and guys like this. I wonder if he's hinting at Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers for sure after the game lent credence to that with his tone and some of the things that he said. You know, he says, you know, basically saying that it's an uncertain future for a lot of us here, including me. And I think there's something to it. And I'll tell you this, if I'm Green Bay, I get out from Aaron Rodgers right now, and I'm not blaming him solely for the loss. You know, it's not his fault. He's not Tom Brady, but he's not Tom Brady. And he's not Pat Mahomes. And he's, you know, he's excellent. He's just not good enough when it matters. And I think him and Matt LaFleur, I think this wasn't a Super Bowl loss, but it's going to be kind of treated like that in Green Bay, where it's going to have real damaging, lasting effects. And Rodgers still has game. And I think he would get a first-round pick because the talent is so elite. And if I'm Green Bay, I'm getting out of it. I'm getting out of it now. I'm pulling the plug now. I'm pulling the Band-Aid now. And I'm moving on from Aaron Rodgers. And I wonder if that's what Schefter's hitting at.
Oh, I think it's across the board. And when I say Rodgers is I potentially in play. Deshaun Watson's in play. Matthew Stafford's in play. Carson Wentz could be in play. Like, you're talking big names. So, and now again, that means there's going to be good supply, which will help the Patriots in terms of what the asking price is. At the same time, I would say there are some teams out there that are going to want quarterbacks. Houston's going to want one. Miami's going to want one. And so, I'm sorry, not Miami. Indianapolis is what I meant. And so, Indy's get number 21 in the first round, Mike. What if they are willing to give that up for a Stafford?
Then they can have him.
Right? So this is the part of it that concerns me, is that there are going to be other teams, and some of them are going to pay a price for it.
Yeah, Washington, they have the 19th pick overall. They got a really good defense. They got to figure, get a quarterback in there. You said Houston, maybe Carolina. Like, there's New Orleans, because Drew Brees is going to retire.
Forgot about them, too.
You know, so there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be competing for the Patriots for any of these guys.
But remember, a lot of them are going to be in the top 10 of the draft, where you're going to have three or four guys with those kind of grades. And most teams want to go young and cheap and build up with the next guy, as opposed to trading for a 30, you know. So there's a lot to shake out there, and it's interesting. And we have all offseason to talk about it, okay? So you want to weigh in today, you can. We're trying to stick to mostly game reaction because there's a lot of meat on that bone, and we will get back to it right after Jim Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.